Tonight's episode of Fife Club is brought to you by Istanbul, the kebab shop that puts the fight in your Friday night. Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club. As always, the first rule of Fife Club is, please talk about Fife Club. Give us a like, give us a share, trap a friend in a basement and make them listen to all 31 episodes so far. Just whatever works for you.
Remember to feed them.
Nah.
If it's prolonged.
Nah, once they've listened to the 31 episodes, we're done with them.
That's yeah. Fine. Yeah. Mental torture.
Do whatever you want. I'd also like to say a big thanks to Doogie for coming on with us last week. It was really good to catch up with him and hear his voice. And just prod him about being a Scot in Canada. It was interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I enjoyed last week's episode.
Yeah, yes. It was really good. So anyway.
Made it sound like a mental attack there. I enjoyed last week's episode.
I do have episodes quite often. I have a whole variety of episodes.
Do you know that Fife Club isn't real? We're not real. This is an episode. When we talk about this being your 32nd episode.
Don't.
That's why your dog was barking at us on the way in. Because he's like, there's nowhere near Mags, wake up.
Oh my God. So I had this really, sorry to interrupt your introduction. I just had, I just remembered I read this article in the Observer on Sunday about this guy who's a sleep professor. And he's written this book about sleep and how it's really important. And he's linked all these health things and stuff like that to like Alzheimer's and dementia and stuff like that are all to do with sleep. Mm. And at the very end, the interviewer says, you know, well, what's the next big question that you'd like to answer? And he was like, well, I'm working on this new theory about the evolution of sleep. And I'm starting to think that maybe we didn't learn how to sleep, or sleep didn't evolve. It's that consciousness evolved out of sleep, and that our original estate was always to be asleep. I have been so fucked up the last few nights. Like, I'm trying to go to sleep at night. I'm just like thinking about the concept that maybe we're all meant to be asleep all the time, and that consciousness is totally separate to that. So yeah, don't mess with my head, guys. I'm already like a little bit fucked up this week.
Gosh, QX Files music.
Episode 32. Mags goes more mental. Craig just walks in every now and then, wonders why you're talking to yourself.
Oh, I do talk to myself all the
Craig
time.
Doesn't exist.
No, he does. But well, it's like Kirsty has a theory that she's mental and I'm her carer.
Yeah.
Maybe it's actually that Craig's your carer and you just think that you've got a relationship.
my sister's said things to the effect on regular occasions.
Leave you with that one tonight.
Yeah.
So anyway, as you can hear, around the mic with my good self Kutch tonight is a man with all the mojo, Fife Club's very own Austin Powers. It's Jamie.
Hello? Wait. If anybody looks like Austin Powers, it's Mark.
Yeah, totally.
Just wait for it. Across from him is, and because of a jumper he owns, our own version of James Tiberius Kirk is Mark.
Yep.
It's a lovely mustard colour. I think you'll find
you have to share that on the socials to explain to people like why like 3 years ago Mark wore a jumper once and continued to go on about it. Have you worn that jumper ever since?
No.
Because you're so mean about it.
Yeah. Well, I'd also just like to say a brief thank you to all the fans that wrote in to ask for me to come back after my 3 week Precisely, no fans.
Wait, no.
It turns out.
Doogie was a wee bit miffed.
Oh, yeah. Please for that. Please.
I'm starting to wonder if we have anybody listening.
But... Yeah. We don't really.
But yeah. So next to him is the Queen of the Galaxy, our very own Barbarella. It's Mags.
Who's Barbarella?
It's a sci-fi film from the 60s.
Jane Fonda.
Is it soft porn? It sounds like soft porn.
It's more.
It's a little bit soft.
Soft porn, but yeah.
It's classy.
It's less on the porn side and more on the just the What?
Yeah, what the fuck is going on?
When the soft porn side, it's all classy, it's all techno bush.
So, okay. So my shiny metallic bikini and yes. glittery headdress
that
I'm wearing right now.
Right.
I think it's more of a red colour, but yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I'm really glad I wore this to the recording tonight. I don't feel quite so self-conscious there about having my tits out.
But
it's all for character. Oh, she's got her legs open quite wide.
So yeah, this is the bunch of misfits I have with me this week. Jamie, would you like to give us the socials?
Yes, with no break involved there. Please talk to us on facebook.com/fiveclubpod or at fiveclubpod, Twitter at fiveclub, email ken@fiveclub.co.uk, Instagram fiveclub, or on our website at www.fiveclub.co.uk.
Boom.
So I sent an email about 2 weeks ago.
You did?
Oh, did you get it? I never got a reply. I sent an email to Ken at fiveclub.co.uk and I didn't even get an acknowledgement.
So what happened was I was at work at the time and I went and looked through it and went, ooh, and then went, dun, and then forgot all about it.
I can't even remember what the email was, but I just remembered there now that I'd seen. Was it? It was something from work and I thought this would be interesting and then I can't remember.
Oh, Dunfermline MP.
Oh! Did you talk about that?
No.
Just very briefly, ex-Dunfermline MSP, Bill, ex-Dunfermline MSP and convicted wife beater and daughter-in-law beater with a frying pan, Bill Walker. He hit his daughter-in-law in the head with a frying pan.
That's horrific, but also classically Fife.
It is classically Fife. Well, this is the thing. Well, so he has written
Why am I laughing?
He's written his autobiography, which tells the true story about how the fact that he beat his wife and daughter-in-law around the head, or stepdaughter, around the head with a frying pan was a massive conspiracy by the political elites in this country. And he's going to prove, despite the fact he went to prison for 6 months, he's going to prove everybody wrong. And we got an invitation to the launch, and from his publisher, William G. Walker Publishing @gmail.com. So he's obviously found a really big name.
@gmail.com.
He's found a really big name publisher for that. I just thought
is it not being published on Amazon first as well? I think is the thing. It's like
it's an exclusive.
An Amazon print book thing.
Exclusive.
We're being printed for you.
So it's one
on
of
Amazon.
One, it's one of the ones where you send a book to Amazon and they print it for you. It doesn't matter.
Really bad quality.
So I think we should all whip around and buy a copy of this book just for the lols.
Just for the lols and read it.
And read it. And we could read it a chapter each week from the
sort of like a
as like a bonus podcast.
Will we get sued or?
It's like Mad Dad wrote a porno.
Yeah, it's basically Mad Dad wrote a porno, except my mental ex-MSP wrote a expose trying to justify why he's a wife beater. So,
maybe he's living in a dream.
Oh, don't start with this. Honestly, the whole Bill Walker saga is so fucked up, nobody could dream it up in the first
terrific.
Place. But anyway.
He's a bad man.
He is a bad man.
I remember having Twitter... arguments with people at the time, SNP activists, who were like, but just because we did no background check on someone who'd been reported to police for beating his wife and his stepdaughter doesn't mean you shouldn't vote SNP this time. And it was like, well, I don't think,
Fair enough.
A sketchy incident from Fife's political past.
One of many, I'm sure.
Yeah. So that was my way of encouraging people to email stories into the email address. Yeah. And Kutch won't reply to you at all, ever. But email in things you'd like us to talk about.
Again, thanks, guys, for everybody being a part of that email address and looking into it and checking it as well. And that's right. It's just me.
I don't have the login details.
What are you talking about, Kutch? All of the people around the mic are basically you doing silly voices.
That's why I take pictures to prove.
Kutch does Max.
Max and Lizzie having a conversation.
Can we get? Can we arrange?
No,
for,
never, listen, never.
For the podcast.
No.
Listen. So I have a.
No.
I have a sister who is a fan of the podcast, and yes. She listens regularly. And but sometimes it's difficult having us both in the same room together.
We can have one of these on at a time.
Okay, well,
Jesus Christ. I don't think my microphone can do it. I think like there's a technical specification that says no way two halls
at one time. One hall at
dogs
a time.
Dogs in the surrounding area just barking.
Never two halls in a hall. That's true. It's a rule. It's a rule.
Thanks, guys.
So, Catch, what are we going to talk about tonight?
Yeah, well,
I've been off. I've forgotten how this works.
Yeah, you've been away. You fucking work.
Well, then you went away on holiday, didn't you? You went away to your festival.
Yeah, but at least I still did it.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. Dedication,
that's
actually.
True. That's actual real commitment.
Oh. I found even people to replace shoes.
Yeah, that's true. And actual people with talent as well.
Yeah. We are entirely replaceable. Yeah, well,
so much so. It's like automation, but only much easier.
So this week, me and Jamie went to see a movie film. Mm. And we went to see Kingsman, The Golden Circle.
Oh, you didn't go to see it?
No.
See, this was my conversation with myself. Uh-huh. Was that I think actually out of both of them, I'd rather see it. But everybody was going to see Kingsman, so I was like, I'll probably go see Kingsman, because I don't want to go myself.
So, to see it, because you'd be scared.
I would. Then I'd have to grab the man's hand next to me, if he doesn't know me.
Yeah.
Which would be very awkward.
Unless if he's grabbing your hand already.
He's grabbing something else. Carry.
I did see somebody
what
in
did
the
you arrange beforehand?
Somebody in the US did something really cool, which was went to a suburban area and tied like a red balloon on a string to like one of those...
Storm drains.
Storm drains.
That is excellent.
But it was when their neighbours had said they were going to see it.
Yeah.
So they did it for them coming back. And it's like, it'll be dark when they come back. This is going to be fantastic.
Oh my God. So I remember my brother showing me it once. And he was like, they had it on like VHS. Because I didn't realise until this new it came out that the original was a miniseries. It wasn't a film.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a two-part, three-part miniseries?
Yeah. But I always watched it as a film. As a film.
So my brother had it on VHS. And for about a year, whenever my mum would go out and leave us with my brother, which wasn't that often, but he would put that on, even though he was under strict instructions to not. And it was so fucking terrifying. Like, honestly, to this day, I actually can't go and see the new it. I don't really like horror films anyway, but I physically couldn't go and see this one because it was, I found it so terrifying when I was like eight.
See, my thing about it again is that I'm just not much into horror, so I'm quite happy to wait. I'll watch it, but I'll wait for it to hit Sky.
I'm not massive into horrors, but I like good horrors, and all the reviews from like both people and critics have just been it's fucking great. Yeah. And I'm kind
like
of
a
annoyed.
Scary Stand By Me as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is Stephen King did Stand By Me.
Stand By Me is supposed to be like a friendlier version of it.
Was it a short story first? I think it was a short story.
So you can see the similarities. It is just basically a family friendly it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Kingsman.
We saw Kingsman.
Yeah.
Seen the first one. Didn't see it at the cinema. For the fact that it was a Mark Miller comic book. It's a Matthew Vaughn film.
Yeah. Jane Golden writing the script.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did not go and see it. I just wasn't interested in it. I don't know why. It didn't look like
obviously it looked a bit spoof Bond. If you've just seen like Johnny English or something like that,
Austin Powers.
I've kind of seen this before.
But by chance, I got a free copy of the DVD, and we sat down and watched it. And actually kind of blew me away. Like, I don't know why I didn't pick up on it first time round. Really good film.
Quick note to the listeners. Kutch is actually very good friends with Mark Strong, the actor Mark Strong.
Am I?
That was a lie. I just thought I would add a level of like celebrity intrigue.
Mark's going left field.
Good friends with Christopher Nolan. Just kind of name drop.
I once shared a cab with Charlie Theron.
You did once share. You did once help Eddie Izzard with his luggage.
I did off the train. That's very true.
You genuinely did. Yeah.
That is a good celeb spot. Yeah.
That was weird when he came and sat beside us and was like, "You're Eddie Izzard." Oh, I didn't text anybody that day because I didn't want anybody phoning me shouting, "Fuck you, Chris!" down the phone. A la Penman and Andy Zoltzman.
Lovely man to sit next to on a train.
But The Golden Circle.
Yes.
It's the second film. I liked it a lot. It's basically... this is in a trailer, so it's not spoilers.
No.
Kingsman gets destroyed. They go to see their American cousins.
Yeah.
Who are the statesmen. Who's played by the guy who plays Penny on Narcos, who's also... The Viper in Game of Thrones, who's amazing.
Can we just roll back a little bit here? Because I've literally never heard of Kingsman or seen a trailer or know anything about it. Who is Kingsman? Is that a person?
The Kingsman is a...
Pedro Pascal.
Thank you.
The Kingsman is a tailor's, like a tailor shop in London. Okay. But it's a front for an independent spy agency.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's kind of, the whole thing's like a Bond pastiche.
Yeah.
Basically. Okay. But it's done in, the action scenes are really good.
Hyper real.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's kind of, it's hyper real, but at the same time, like, harking back to sort of like those softer sort of spy films of old.
Yeah.
So
your Roger Moore Bond
style. That sort of thing.
Style
film. I thought it was a bit like the old Avengers.
That as well, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a mix of sort of that. But it's sort of old Avengers, Roger Moore's Bond, they all sort of mashed together, 60s, 70s.
So it's a spy action film rather than a superhero film?
Yes.
Okay, I was thinking it was a superhero film.
It is based on a comic book by somebody who traditionally writes superhero stuff. Okay. But he did this comic book based on the spy. And it's very much, if you've got Bond and you've got Austin Powers, it sits somewhere in between.
Yeah.
It's spoofy, but with kind of serious elements and serious action. And
but that's the difference, I think, between the first... I liked the second film, but I felt like they did stuff in it. I'm not going to do spoilers because it's movies and it's different, but they did stuff in it where they just turned stuff up to 11, I felt, but not in a good way.
Right.
And I enjoyed it, but I didn't enjoy it as much as the first film. Because in the first film, you've got like actual character development going on, whereas the character development in this is pretty crap.
I think this is the classic sort of sequel where you've done the character development in the first one and then the second one, it's like you're quite literally thrown straight into the story, into the action. Like without a moment's notice, you're firing through in a minicab through the streets of London.
That's why I don't like it.
Yeah. Really?
The action scenes, there was more of them, but they didn't have the same impact as in the first one.
Well, I think... I read something about it. What one critic was saying was about the action scenes in the first one. How in the bit in the church, the big fight in the church, it was very sort of zoomy out, zoomy in. You're like snapping about all over the place. The rest of the fight scenes weren't really like that. It was that one that kind of had that style. This had that throughout every fight scene.
Yeah, yeah.
So I kind of see it. Like, the first thing you said to me as we were walking out was you felt it jumped the shark.
Yeah.
I kind of felt it didn't. I thought, if you've watched the first one, it was a bit more of the same. It kind of just took it a bit more on the spy, the day-to-day life of them being spies. Where the first one, you were seeing the main character, Eggsy, go from being a London estate chav to being the super sleuth spy. And this one was like the progression of that and what it is on a day-to-day. What life as a Kingsman is day-to-day.
So who do they do their spying for if they're a private spying agency? Is it the Russians?
No. Their whole idea is that... But like MI5 and whoever else can be corrupted, which is what happens in the first film.
Okay.
So, but they were set up by, after World War One, lots of rich people lost their heirs. So they put their money to set this up to try and stop wars happening ever again.
Okay.
That's the sort of idea behind it.
So they don't serve anyone then?
No, they're completely independent. Yeah.
So this is basically the benevolence of a bunch of rich dead people.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Sort of classic aristocratic British romp.
Yeah. Well, but in the first one,
public sector spies out of work.
In the first one, they play that quite well, and they're like, there's like this working class guy, and a lot of the sort of more aristocratic spies don't want him. They're like, oh, he's not really one of us, is he? Uh-huh. But the whole point is that being a gentleman isn't about being aristocratic and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't get in the second one. But, yeah.
I was just going to say also the tailoring was actually quite good in the first one. Some really, like Colin Firth rocked some pretty sharp suits.
Should have had more quick edits on the tailoring scenes though.
Yeah. In out, some great stitch work.
No, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I've got to say, I didn't feel that I wasn't being entertained at any point. The story chugged along quite nicely. Somebody complained about it being full of exposition. But I was kind of like,
a bit.
But that's part of the joke, I think, because a lot of the older Bond films had a lot of exposition in them. You look at the Austin Power films, they have a character called Basil Exposition who explains everything. So I think to have that, I was happy with that. I was okay with that. Two of the other things that I'd just sort of heard was that like Julianne Moore's bad guy, there wasn't enough reason for her wanting to do what she does.
Yeah.
And I was just sort of like, the reason that they gave, I was quite happy with, because it was just a means to an end. It was just a part of the
MacGuffin.
Yeah, MacGuffin. Just
it did have a good social message at its heart as well, which we won't go into, but it had like a good...
Yeah.
But
then that's Mark Millar, I think. If there's any bit of Mark Millar that comes through on that, it's probably that side of it. Because
all the things you're saying just have reminded me how good the first Austin Powers was.
Yeah.
The first one
was good. The second one wasn't bad. The third one...
They flogged it too much.
The first one...
Milked that franchise.
The bit with the really slow steamroller.
Yeah.
and the phone call to the dead henchman's wife.
But then that was the joke that was repeated in Deadpool, and it worked so well in Deadpool as well with the Zambini.
I'm calling it on Kingsman.
Fair enough. But what do you think? Good film?
What's our Fife Club rating system?
It's a Fife based tab. It's a Fife tab.
Call it by a Fife tab. What with Dunfermline being
the pinnacle obviously.
And called it a meth. No.
Glenrothes is the lowest.
Glenrothes is the lowest rating. And
Kirkcaldy's down there.
Kirkcaldy's pretty low down there. I think methyl gets too much of a bad rep, and actually we should support our methyl brethren. And then you've got of Northeast Fife and all of
I don't know, Ben, so I was going to say it was a Kirkcaldy because it thinks it's good, but it's not actually that good.
It's a fair call.
That's a good description, yeah. No. What would you give it, Kutch?
But to be fair, you could say it about the farm one as well. But
no, you could not.
Actually, I'll give it 6.5 Bridies, maybe 7 out of 10 Bridies.
Oh, okay.
That's very good. Yeah.
Bridie scale is good.
Well, I was going to give it a Carnic because it's not quite Dunfermline, but it's still in the same postal code.
I like it, yes.
Wow. Do you agree with the 6.5 Bridies?
I'd maybe go 7 to 8. I'd push it a wee bit further. I really liked it, and I don't all the things that people fault it for, I think, are purpose built into it, and I just think you need to lighten up.
Right, we need to move on.
Yeah, fair enough.
I like the Bridie scale.
I was told I wasn't allowed to mention this because people, people talk about being vegan too much, but I've just done a week of being vegan.
What
I was going to say was, I'm finished in an hour and a half's time, and I was wondering if someone might be able to drive me down to the Stevens Bakery in Rosyth to get a Bridie, because I really want a Bridie.
I think it closes at like 9:30 or something.
What we can do is get into McDonald's though.
No, I don't care about McDonald's, but just all the chat of Bridies, I just like really want a Bridie now.
So. I had a Bridie today.
Oh man, I haven't had a Bridie in a while because I don't live in the town anymore.
So, Jamie, it's our show this week.
Oh, God, I feel really bad.
Sorry, I'm just playing solitaire.
You've seen it as well, though, so it's okay.
I've seen
it. Is this another pop culture reference that I won't get because I don't watch television?
You're a vegan, you don't get popular culture.
I know, I'm a vegan, I don't get popular culture. Also, just because my attention span is too short, and I find it really difficult to be quiet all the way through a film. Just genuinely one of the reasons why I don't like films. Because I have to be quiet.
Are you like Michael Owen, the footballer, who's like famously only ever seen like two films?
Is he? Yeah. I should have a chat with Michael Owen about that, because generally, like, I find it really
Michael, oi Roberto, pass the Pringles. Is that Michael Owen? That's an old advert.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
Did Michael Owen advertise Pringles?
What? Was it Mike Pringles?
It was.
Was it?
My football knowledge, I could easily be getting the wrong football. But I'm pretty sure it was Michael Owen.
Yeah. Wow.
Anyway,
what pop culture reference are you going to hit me with now?
Star Trek!
New Star Trek.
Oh, well, see, I can talk about Star Trek The Next Generation, but I can't talk about new Star Trek.
Well, you can at least relate into this.
Yeah.
So for anyone who hasn't listened to or watched any Star Trek, it's a really long-winded, tedious, space-based program where absolutely fuck all of any interest happens at any point, to the point where it bores you to tears when you decide to switch off.
That's one viewpoint.
That's one very...
I don't know about the new series, but it used to try and explore some quite big societal and political issues.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would take them to another planet or take them into space to talk about them in a hypothetical issue.
Where there's no gender.
Yes.
Et cetera, et cetera.
But but actually it was, quite relevant, the conversations. They have those conversations in an incredibly boring way.
Yes.
But they still had those conversations. So
were they by ruder rubber faced goons all speaking weird languages? I don't really need to know.
Alright, Nigel.
Yeah. I just want you to our services to speak English.
No, let me speak.
Wow.
Like, I don't care for the effects of drama. I don't care if this is authentic language that you've created. Like, this fucking
If you love in the feature of it on Netflix, if you watch a new episode of Star Trek, you can set the subtitles to Klingon. Oh. It's like it was made for you, Pimmon.
Fucking despair.
So anyway,
right,
so Jamie,
who's in the new Star Trek thing?
So
how do we watch it?
So it's
Netflix
in the UK, CBS All Access in the States, and Space Channel in Canada. But it's
hang on a minute, there's a thing called the Space Channel in Canada.
Canada has a lot. Most sci-fi is produced in Canada on
really?
A very low budget.
The X-Files was Canadian, wasn't it?
So it was Stargate.
Oh.
Half the sci-fi series on today are produced in Canada. Yeah.
Space Channel, I like to say that.
Tax breaks.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
But it's starring Sinéad Martin Green, who was from The Walking Dead, who's a very good actor, who's called Michael, confusingly, and she doesn't have any sort, she's not trans or anything, she just it's because a showrunner likes to give people males names.
Yeah.
And I think vice versa.
She's called Michael in the programme.
Yeah.
Not in
like
real
Michael
life.
Burnham.
Right. Yeah.
Quick question, who was she in The Walking Dead?
I can't remember her name now. They came across her in the prison, I think.
Was she a sword woman?
No. Oh, God. It's the feet of her black woman in The Walking Dead.
I have not seen The Walking Dead.
Welcome to Five.
she's the one. You're taking my spot. No, she's the one who got together with. Okay, anyway, that's Walking Dead. Leave the Walking Dead. So it's based 10 years before the original Star Trek series, like the Kirk one.
Mm-hmm.
I really fucking enjoyed it.
Yeah,
it was really good. And I'll just talk a wee bit about it, but. I remember saying to you, I think it was on the first, second episode of the podcast, what I wanted Star Trek to be, and I said total war with the Klingons.
Yes.
And that's exactly what we're fucking doing. Yeah. So I'm like, yes, thank you. And it's much more real world. They still seem to be going on social issues, but it looks like it's not going to be like, each episode's going to be, new social issue. It's going to be more of a series arc.
Yeah, okay.
And
Because they were all quite standalone.
Yeah,
they,
so
they weren't they? Yeah.
So like, she's really complicated. She was raised. She's
is she
human.
The captain?
No, this is a thing. The main character for once isn't the captain.
Okay.
She's like, she's a lieutenant commander who, and we're going to do spoilers for this, by the way. Yeah. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. she gets like demoted at the end of episode 2 and stripped of rank. But it looks like she gets taken back in and has to work her way back up or something. Mm. But she's so you're seeing stuff on the lower decks.
Kind of a Chakotay.
Yeah, but she's also lower. It looks like she's going to start from lower down, like maybe even crewman in the next one. But basically, I really liked it. Big visuals, like the new Star Trek films, but the visuals served a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the old Star Trek films, you always got a thing like, oh, number one, do a scan of that pulsar. Whereas, like, you know, always like, you know, in the distance. Whereas here, she goes out in a spacesuit and goes out into space and then is obviously wowed by it. And I got a feeling of like, you know,
amazing.
Watching it.
Yeah.
So, I can figure the right word. So it works. So the visuals work to serve a purpose. Mm-hmm. And it's that sort of personal level of space travel that the, and fear as well, and tension.
Yeah.
Because the old ones, it'd be like, oh no, we're under attack, the ring boot shape. But because no one dies ever in Star Trek, well, one person died.
Yeah.
You never fear people are going to die. Mm-hmm. But someone get a main character gets killed.
And that
killed.
Makes it boring.
Well, but a main character gets killed at the end of this episode. And you're like, anyone can die. There's actual tension.
Yeah, it kind of gives it... it kind of felt a little bit Battlestar-y.
Yeah.
Like those first two episodes. Especially in relation to the first two episodes of Battlestar, where it was like, you know, the relentless battle, space battle, and you were kind of... that really just set up the whole thing. The first episode was a little bit slow. Not a lot happened in terms of...
Well, you did surprise me.
Yeah.
I was
not a lot happened in terms of the story, but what I did feel happen was that you were getting a bit more character development through that first one. And then into the second one, that's when we started facing up with the story side of it.
Can I ask the most important question? Uh-huh. What colour are their uniforms and how would you describe the style?
So, this is the next thing I was actually going to say. Stylistically, it's interesting because it's set 10 years before original Trek, which
so
has...
Are they all wearing like 80s style Mara skirts and things?
So, they're kind of just... They're leaving that aesthetic. They're leaving that to the side and just sort of like... It wouldn't work to make a TV series that was set beforehand. With Enterprise, they kind of tried to bring it between that aesthetic and, like, modern day. It was almost like... Because that was set before...
this one.
This new series as well. So that kind of worked. This one has been so close, you kind of... I did wonder how they were going to play that. What they're doing is they're kind of setting it more like the new movies, the aesthetic.
Mm.
Although that's supposed to be, like, an alternative universe... I think to not do that would cause too much confusion for anybody just tuning in.
Yeah.
That doesn't know.
Does anyone have a nice mustard yellow jumper? This is what I'm getting at here.
Nobody's. It's mostly blue.
Although I saw in a coming episode, it was like coming this season, I saw a thing online of the rest of it. She at one point is wearing like a very mustard yellow jumpsuit looking thing, and I thought like of our compadre Penman here.
Look, mustard's a great colour.
She obviously saw those pictures of Mark and thought, yeah.
Yep.
That's a man in an Italian restaurant that's no longer there.
What I really liked about it was instead of having it did have some techno babble and exposition, but instead of having that constantly, they left the storytelling to the through character development. Mm. So there's always been this tension in the Federation where it's like, oh, it's like this utopian society, but everybody's so fucking boring.
Yeah.
Like, everything's great. Everybody's boring as fuck. Whereas she, Burnham, is like the walking tension in the Federation where she's like all logical one second. She was raised by Vulcans, but she's human. And the next minute she's doing something. It seems totally irrational. But if you think about it, she was actually doing something really logical. So it's like, she's like
it's,
this, she's like this thing.
She's
internalized.
Like slightly shifted, like almost the opposite of Spock.
Yeah.
Because
he was
very logical, but with human traits.
Spock's adopted sister, technically as well. Who he never talked about strangely.
No.
Oh, okay.
Here's the thing. So the Sarek turns up.
Yeah.
Right? And as soon as that guy as that guy walked on the screen, I went, oh, Sarek. Because I swear to God I've seen him play Sarek in something else. Nope.
Nah, he just looks like him.
But they've clearly got somebody that...
Has a bowl cut.
He's been in True Blood. And if you ever think he's really good at it.
Loads of stuff that we've watched. But yeah, like I thought that's kind of been quite good casting for me to instantly go, that's who you are. Because I thought he was maybe his dad in the films or something, but not.
I just want to talk about the Klingons very briefly before we sort of move on, which is...
Can I just say one thing I thought was quite good from the bits that I watched of it? The Klingon guy that they, like, oh, you've talked about already, that they kill at the beginning.
Mm.
That was quite a funky outfit that Klingon dude was wearing.
Oh, yeah.
The graphics were quite cool, interesting. The rubber face then suddenly started to annoy me when they were all together.
See, I'm the opposite, whereas I didn't mind the face.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Klingons in it are... There's this guy who's saying, oh, we're starting a war with the Federation to keep ourselves pure because the Federation are all about mixing, right? And everybody's complained about this Klingon character design. So it's like, make Kronos great again. Which is what it is. That's essentially what it is. Mixed with kind of like Islamic State as well. Those two things mixed together. He talks about purity a lot and that sort of thing. But I think... People are like, oh, why do the Klingons look so different? Because they look like totally mental. I think it's because they haven't interbred yet. And their explanation...
It was only 10 years earlier than the original.
No, but in the original series, they didn't have any Reggies at all because they were because they have any money. So they just gave them slightly brown skin. It was really bad.
Oh, dear.
And it was mustaches and beards.
Yeah, mustaches. Yeah. Bad man mustaches and beards. Oh, okay. But I think that could be a way to explain it, that they look like that because they haven't gone out and bred with loads of other races yet.
Yeah.
And then that'll happen. And then they'll have less pronounced Reggies. Yeah. They'll look more like humans than other species.
I was talking to Kirsty about this because she was sort of saying that they don't look like the Klingons from later series. And I was like, the Klingon design has always changed, like through the films, through the TV shows.
Even within series has changed.
Within Worf, one of the main Klingon characters.
He's had like three different...
Yeah, looks. Yeah.
Three different rubber faces.
Pretty much. Yeah. He's unrecognisable about his mask on, actually. It's really
that
weird.
Episode of Deep Space Nine when they go back in time to the Trouble with Tribbles.
Yeah, and they see him. They see all the slightly brown faced Klingons.
And they ask Worf what the deal was, and he says.
It's a genetic thing.
It's something we don't talk about. And it's never, ever been expanded upon. Yeah. So
that was a joke as well.
Well, that's convenient.
It was a joke as well. It's like, we never talk about it.
Yeah, but it is a way to... But then, obviously, that makes it lore. And it is that sort of thing of, well, was there some kind of... Was it interbreeding? But there was only 10 years. So was it some kind of, like, purposeful genetic mutation or change that they went through? Was it a phase, something like that? Maybe they'll explore this in this series.
It was basically the costume department had an a rubber inverted bum mask.
I also that was the Ferengis, mate. You ever seen Ferengis? They've got
I also found it interesting that they had the albino character.
Yeah, although I watched that and I was like, oh, albino, you know.
However, what I found interesting was that they said. That he said he was such and such of none.
Yeah. No house.
Which is like, what they didn't expand on that.
But I think the idea is that...
Were the Klingons playing with genetics at the time and literally having, like, clones, essentially?
Maybe, but I think what they were doing was he's mirroring Burnham, who's sort of an outcast. She was grew up in a Vulcan site as a human.
Yeah, so he's the...
And you also have what's his name? Is it T'Kuvma? He was really cool. So he died actually. And Michelle Yeoh's character, Captain Georgia, or so. I think they're mirroring each other because they both died as well, and they both. Actually, what was weird was that they were mirroring. They were doing a lot of mirroring. Like it opened up with like a shot of like a star system, and then it turned into a Klingon into his eye.
Yeah,
and then they did a similar thing with Burnham later on, where it was a thing in her eye as well. Again, it was like this personal cosmological tension thing. It was really cool, but it was like this. That's something that I've always thought about space sci-fi. That's why I really liked it as well. So I've always thought no sci-fi things really got across like the, you know, when you look up at stars and go, wow, holy shit. They've never really gotten that across in like the the like connection between the cosmological and the personal. And I think this actually did it. And I was like, holy shit. It's not a lot of problems.
Quite a deep analysis.
No, I have a lot of deep thoughts about this. I think about Star Trek maybe a bit too much.
No, I totally agree. There was, it's like what you were saying when she goes out on the spacewalk and is firing forward and there's that moment where it's the breathing, the heavy breathing. And
yeah.
You felt it. You felt the tension. And then,
which you never felt in Star Trek before.
No.
I never felt tension. Apart from maybe in like the very last couple of series of Deep Space Nine or something. But,
is there a hint of that film with Sandra Bullock and George Clooney?
Solaris.
Solaris. Like in the spacewalk.
Not Solaris. Gravity.
A bit, yeah.
There is that same sort of...
Because I think that changed everything that was filmed in space a little bit.
Oh my God, it was amazing.
It was totally amazing. And that was like... made you feel like...
I watched Gravity and I wasn't blown away by it.
But did you watch it on TV?
Yeah.
See, I went to see it at the cinema. I think I was at IMAX. And I was like, holy shit. I was actually heart-pounding through most of the film. And then I've watched it on TV a couple of times and I've been like, oh, this is okay. But seeing it at cinema was just incredible.
I find space genuinely terrifying.
Oh, it is.
I can't think of anything worse than going into space. Like, there's no way you cannot pay me enough money ever to go into space.
But that's what was good about it. It did that thing where it was it was this thing where it was like the wonder of space along with the scariness of space altogether.
It's just, we're not meant to be there. You will die if you get like a leak in your jacket. You might float off into space.
I think we are meant to be there.
Do you think?
We need to figure out how to be there without dying.
I think
it's like Australia. There's too many things to kill you. Shouldn't be there.
No.
So we're going to space.
And it's either roasting
really
hot or freezing cold.
Yeah. If we go in space, will people live in space get really good at rugby and cricket?
Yes. And racism.
And racism. Main exports.
Yeah.
Right. What town are you comparing? What town in Fife are you comparing Star Trek?
It's Dunfermline. It's Dunfermline.
Is it?
Yeah, I really fucking like it.
Wow.
You know what? Usual thing with this TV series, give it 3 episodes. In 2, it's got me.
Here's the thing. Yeah, it's, I think, the best ever pilot episode of a Star Trek series,
yeah, definitely.
Because,
although...
it's maybe on a level with... but this is the thing. The first series of a Star Trek thing is usually really bad.
Yeah.
Like, we're usually, like, a bit... they don't really get what the show is.
Mm.
But this one, starting off, for me, is kind of everything I've wanted in... there's a few problems, like pacing's a bit weird. It's some, like when the Klingons were talking, it felt like an afternoon play at points.
A little bit,
and it was a bit weird. And then it would go to the Starfleet people, and they'd be running around too much, and there was no sort of balance. But these are minor problems in like banter and pacing and a few other things. But they'll sort themselves out hopefully as the series goes on.
Do you know what? I think it was really good to see these 2 episodes because we'd heard some like potential horror stories from like people leaving the show.
Yeah,
and
really troubled production. Yeah, set back
production
by months.
And it was supposed to be out like January.
But that happened with Westworld as well, and that turned out to be fucking great.
Yeah.
So
it's maybe one of these things where they've actually gone
the series,
and where they've gone and started it, decided it needs more time and gone back and put more time into
it. Can I ask a question? When does Hello to Jason Isaacs come out?
That should be the next episode. I'd imagine.
Yeah. Because this episode doesn't even feature the USS Discovery.
No.
I'd just like to point out as well, just very briefly, that the USS Discovery's number has 31 at the end. Section 31 is like an unacknowledged spy agency in the Federation. They're kind of like Kingsman, but evil.
Jamie, you've spent far too much time thinking about Star Trek.
Yeah,
right?
This isn't in 3 series or something. But anyway,
you and me could probably just do a Star Trek special of our own.
I think maybe you should save all the rest of your chat for a special Star Trek episode where you forget to press play.
We particularly do it, like record it with a special segment for Mags talking about being a vegan, and it'll cure all of my insomnia all at once.
I'll just say very lastly, another bad thing I didn't like about it, the fight scenes were not well directed or shot or edited, especially when you have Michelle Yeoh in a fight scene.
Yeah, well, that's...
it's like, what the fuck? Anyway, lastly,
Iron Fist.
I don't know if I'd go that far. It's probably better than Iron Fist. But I'll just say, finally, it's Star Trek, but not as we know it.
Oh, Jamie. Fair enough.
Catch, have you got a final front? fuck that.
No,
it doesn't even.
No.
Nah,
it doesn't. No, it doesn't work.
No. Get out.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm glad we've all decided it's rubbish.
So, is that it? I wasn't really listening to us. That's
7.5 to 8 Brady's out of 10 for first 2 episodes.
That's and that is 2 hours of podcast.
So, very quickly, next topic.
So, Labour had the conference.
Yeah.
I've seen none of it because I've been too busy.
Yeah, snap.
So, basically, the long and the short of the Labour Party conference is about 70% of the Labour Party conference so far has been them revealing new policies and coming across as pretty competent and having some interesting ideas and building up Jeremy Corbyn, as you know, the party's really behind him now and he could be the next Prime Minister.
Watson was quite sycophantic.
Well, yeah.
I was like, you don't like the fella. Don't be disingenuous. Mm. Like.
But that's everyone's getting behind it now. But the other 30%, which is the really interesting bit, is maybe about 5%, is the corner where Scottish Labour are tearing each other to shreds, which is completely distracting the press's attention away from what Corbyn's doing. Yeah. It's basically, there's all out war in the different factions of Scottish Labour at the moment, and they're all accusing each other of plotting against each other all the
time. Which they kind of are.
Which they totally are.
Like at First Minister's questions.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, it's basically like a wedding down in England where you've got Scottish relatives.
Totally,
you invite them down and they start a fight.
Yeah.
It's just like, like the Klingon Empire. Don't worry, I'm not really going to do that.
That was good. Next time.
I think my favourite quote so far is from what I've seen though is Alex Rowley's bit where he didn't realise he was being recorded. He genuinely said,
"You've got to do your Alex Rowley impression though."
Okay, so I'll do my Alex. He said something along the lines of, "Well, I've got to be impartial, but I do think Richard Leonard's." But no, he didn't say I've got to be. He said, "I am impartial. I am impartial." But I do think Richard is the man to lead us into the 2021 election. It's like, no, you've not imagined impartial. How can you be impartial? And then immediately follow it up with, Richard's the man to lead us into the election.
It's Blair. Now's not a time for... I can feel the hand of history.
But they are basically... There's not been that much new come out. A lot of it's just rehashing the manifesto pledges about renationalisation, saying you're definitely going to do it. And not talk about Brexit. Don't talk about Brexit.
Well, about Brexit. That's the one thing that I've got out of it is that it's kind of a bit frightening how there's been no debate about Brexit.
That's like as well on a thing today. He said, Corbyn said, it's also with automation we could have a new settlement between work and our leisure time. And people are like, oh my god. Did Corbyn just announce fully automated lottery communism? And I was like, no. He announced maybe somewhat better, partially automated social democracy. Maybe.
apparently, I've only saw this on Twitter. I've not actually heard it yet, but apparently, Jeremy Corbyn sung "Happy Birthday to Diana." But
so did half the hall.
Did they all sing it? Yeah. Oh, I thought it might just be Jeremy Corbyn on his own serenading Diana.
Like back in the day. I was just going to quickly say on the Brexit thing, what I think is interesting is like Brexit, Labour have basically looked like a shambles on Brexit.
Yeah.
Like, but at the same time, this might be the only way that they can get away with Brexit, their Brexit position.
By not talking about it.
By being an obvious shambles. It's like no one's attacking them for being wrong. Everyone's attacking them for being like. For just being incompetent. But that level of incompetence basically might take them through to a point where they have a position that doesn't alienate a lot of their traditional northern working class vote, but also keeps enough of the metropolitan side on side to the point where there might be a second referendum.
Which they don't want to say just which now, but...
It would cost
your name's Sadiq Khan.
Yeah.
Or Kezia. Kezia has been saying that.
Actually, there's another point. What I do have to bring up is obviously the burning question on most Labour, proper patriotic Labour voters' minds. Why the hell is it being held in a mosque?
Oh, God.
Is that a serious thing? People have actually been saying
There's a picture of Brighton Pavilion behind the state, like on the
screen. Jeremy Corbyn's best mates with Hamas. They've just let it to him. Obviously, like he's got mates, right?
I'm pretty sure it's been held at Brighton Pavilion numerous times.
It's like one of
it's just people being idiots.
Yeah, it's just people that don't know anything about Labour or Brighton.
Because there is only like Bournemouth, Brighton, Manchester, Birmingham are the only conference, because they're the only place that can hold enough,
that many people,
that many people, and have enough accommodation.
Yeah.
So desolate seaside towns. Pretty ideal for.
That's why Lib Dems go to like a lot of smaller conference venues these days.
Oh my god!
Because they can't get.
Did you know?
Like a lift.
Like genuinely, the Scottish Lib Dems. I think it was two years ago. Held their conference at the Vine Church in Dunfermline.
And what a Vine venue it is.
You heard it on the grid. Yeah.
I don't know, we should extend an olive branch to some of these religious organisations.
Oh
what?
God.
Go right, figure that out, no?
Just because you've got sour grapes, Gus. Yeah.
No, that fits the quota to make this make sense.
Okay.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going into a fantasy fight club.
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding dong. Bit 60s camp, I thought. Bring that to the table.
Big Ben won't be doing that anymore, will he?
No, he won't.
Brexit, mate.
Yeah, Brexit, yeah.
My granddad died for Big Ben.
Sounds like a secret gay lock.
Sitting there writing handwritten notes.
Yeah. Right, Clutch, what are we doing? Tell us what we're doing. Yeah, I don't know what we're doing. You're sitting here with a whole load of empty mugs, which I'm going to wash later on.
Right, go shut up for a moment.
Sorry.
Welcome, one and all, back to the specially constructed imaginary nine-sided Nonagon for another fantasy fight club. I suggest you all settle in, for we have another tremendous fight card for you good folk out there tonight. If you are not familiar with the format yet, then I shall explain. Each of us pits two fighters into the Nonagon to battle. These fighters can be anyone or anything. We then mull over their fault and merits and how we think the fight would go. We then all decide on a winner. So let's get ready, let's get ready, let's get ready to ramble. There is one caveat this week. We're doing it from the hat. We're picking names from a hat. We've got three mugs here. We've got three mugs.
Don't be so hard on yourselves.
Jamie's available for bar mitzvahs. just let you know.
The theme this week...
I put on my Larry David voice. Yeah.
The theme this week is sci-fi versus spies, or spy-fi, as I like to call it.
Oh, my word.
Versus Labour MPs, particularly the Shadow Cabinet.
So, are we putting three people into the fight? Is this a three-way fight?
No. What we'll do...
Spy-fi socialism.
Is...
Spy-fi socialism.
I will ask you to choose a cup.
Uh-huh.
You will choose the cup. I will ask somebody else to choose another cup. They will choose
I've
that cup.
I've seen this video.
And then you drink... Anyway. Then you shall take a name from them and we'll see what happens.
Okay.
So, who wants to go first?
I'll go first, fuck it.
Jamie, pick a cup.
We're all going to
talk. That one.
You want that cup?
Yes, please.
Choose a name.
Thanks, David Blaine. Okay, do I say it now?
If you want.
Mallory Archer.
Oh.
It's pretty good.
Who wants to go next?
Oh, yeah.
Mark. That one?
Yeah, I don't know what this one is. Lister from Red Dwarf.
Oh.
Okay. So I know who Lister is. I really like Red Dwarf. Who's Mallory Archer?
She's from Archer. She's Archer's mum.
So was she?
Have you ever?
Oh, Lizzie likes the Archers. She listens to the Is that?
No, not
the Archers.
Oh, right. Okay.
Archer is a. Is
have
a
you
spy
ever seen? Have you
series.
Ever seen Arrested Development?
Yes.
So it's basically the mum from Arrested Development.
Oh.
And she's playing the same character.
Yeah.
It's the same.
But she's a cartoon.
Lucille, I fucking love Lucille.
She's the same character. Yeah. She's just like a spy master now.
Okay.
The
okay,
alcoholic
so
and yeah, everything.
She's
the same.
Pretty kick-ass.
Yeah,
I have to say.
No, that's it.
So it's just those two.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're fighting each other. So Lister's fighting Lucille Bluth, but as a sci-fi
is
comedy.
Is it like? Am I backing Mallory and he's backing? Oh, I see.
Oh, we can just.
Oh, it's like debate club.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay. Fine. So. Mallory
what are the
Archer,
main qualities?
Well, Mallory Archer is an alcoholic and her body can take a lot of punishment. She rinses her body of alcohol. She's quite cold-hearted as well. She's abusive as fuck to her son. She used to be a spy herself.
Yeah.
So I think she could snap little Lister's neck quite easily.
Mm.
I think the good qualities about Lister are basically that he's got a weight advantage. I think that
what if he takes off dreads.
which now seems so culturally inappropriate. But Lister also has a crack cocaine problem. Oh no, that's just actually in real life. Lister and Red Dwarf was one that always knew how to handle all the guns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So whenever there was a bit where they went into some kind of planet and had to shoot something, an actual sci-fi series where things happen, then Lister was always the one holding the gun. He's Scouse. So naturally at least...
So he probably thinks he's hard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But it's actually naturally sticky-fingered.
Wow.
He's pretty resilient though, Lister. I mean, like, he totally emotionally lasted on his own for a very long time on that ship with a hologram and a genetically modified cat.
And a robot who's sticking hoovers into his dick all the time.
He lasted a pretty long time just being the only human, and he just kind of got on with shit.
And so. He is the last human, so he's a survivor as well.
He is the last human, isn't he? Yeah. Oh, I fucking loved Red Dwarf.
Yeah, there's a new series coming. That actually looks quite good. Well, I'm going to call this one quite quickly, I think.
Yeah, I'm up for that as well.
Well, I'm obviously going to go for Mallory.
I'm going for Mallory. Because if you saw that episode with when she was back at, was it in Tangiers?
Yeah.
Yes. Where she was shooting the spies over the table whilst giving birth to Archer?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Mallory, I think cool. I would go with Mallory on that one.
Yeah, and she's quite hot as well, right? What?
Well, I'm going with Lucille Bluth because she was the brains behind that family operation. So clearly she would win.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much how it goes. Right. Mags, would you like to choose a cup?
Okay, I'm going to go for this one that we've not had then, which we all know what it is. I hope it's a member of the Shadow Cabinet that I know. Otherwise, I might need to Google them quickly. Let's read it out now.
Yeah.
I have got... Oh, Jeremy Corbyn! He's actually written that on it. Oh, Jeremy Corbyn! Okay.
There was a lot of that at conference.
It's become really irritating.
Yeah.
And who am I fighting? Who's Jezza fighting?
Alexander Litvinenko.
Litvinenko!
Oh my god. Right. Is this prime Litvinenko? Or is this irradiated Litvinenko?
Yeah, I don't really know anything about Litvinenko apart from after he became ill and died.
I guess that makes us a bit of a poison jealous. So it depends which reading of Alexander Litvinenko that you
want. Sorry. Here comes a Russian expert who's never been to Russia.
He was essentially in the FSB for a period of time, successor agency the KGB when it split in two to the FSB domestic and the SVR, which was the foreign branch of it. But he was in the FSB for a period of time. Very contrasting reports on how long he was actually there. Then he came across to... There's basically two schools of thought. One is that he was a hardened ex-Russian spy who was out to expose Putin's Kremlin. And the other that he was basically a bit of a Walter Mitty character supported by anti-Putin oligarchs living in London and a strong PR campaign.
Interesting. It's probably somewhere between the two, maybe.
Almost entirely. He was one of the first people to accuse and suggest that there was evidence that Putin bombed the Moscow apartments in the big Moscow apartment bombings, which was picked up by a historian called Yuri Felchinsky. Just in case anyone's listening, I wrote my my master's dissertation on the death of Alexander Litvinenko.
It's coming in handy now, isn't it? They said you would never use that again.
But the really interesting bit is you've all seen the picture of it, right?
Yeah.
All released by Tim Bell. Formerly of Bell Pottinger, now defunct. As well, it was all calculated and released.
I remember seeing a thing where they went round London with a radiation detector to places he'd been, and they could pick up the radiation above background.
Yeah.
Was that legit?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I wondered if that was maybe, because I've seen things with radiation detectors before. People are like, oh, there's radiation here, but it's just picking up background radiation.
Yeah.
It was really interesting the way they caught him, because according to most reports, I think it was a guy at UCL. Like, they had him in under, like, observation because they couldn't work out what was wrong with him. And apparently somebody, one of the guys walked past him and looks like that guy's been, like, got uranium poisoning or something like that.
Sure.
And they were like, oh, let's check him for that. Holy hell, it's polonium-210.
Yeah. I was trying to make a polonium joke earlier. Like, yeah. Work.
That's baloney. No.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
Oh, God.
Suck it.
Oh. Anyway.
So I kind of feel like Jeremy Corbyn and Alexander Litvinenko wouldn't fight. I feel like they'd be on the same side.
Both have a cup of tea, a vegan sandwich, and go to the Arsenal game.
They would, yeah, exactly. Like, I think, you know, Jeremy would have written down to the allotment, and they could do some digging together, and they could talk over the, you know, times in Russia and how you know the socialist project failed and in the USSR and things like that. You know, I think they would have a lot to talk about. Do we have to make them fight each other?
They have to fight. That's the rules.
Ah, but Jeremy's a pacifist as well. Yeah,
well, like, he's that's his special move, the pacifist. And these other ones throwing cucumber sandwiches at me.
Do you get the sense, though, that, like, Jeremy Corbyn would be the murderer in a weird episode of Morse, where somebody accidentally came to, like, Jeremy Corbyn's allotment, and one of the giant marrows rolled off a shelf and staved somebody's head in, and Corbyn had to try and cover it up.
So he's just buried them.
Yeah. Maybe he put something. He put something dodgy on his compost heap.
Which
the marrow that grew on. Yes. And Alexander Litvinenko came out from Marrow's ship, and maybe it was Jeremy Corbyn that poisoned him all along. And he's done a really good PR. Bell Pottinger had done a really good PR job.
They don't like Jeremy Corbyn.
Persuading everybody that it was actually Putin, and it wasn't. It was Corbyn all along.
So
the key question is, who was Dmitry Kovtun working for? That is the key question.
So I'm going to call this fight already. Again, nice quick one. Now that Mark's told us everything we need to know, I'm going to call
I've
it.
Literally
for,
written an essay on this.
I'm going to call it one for Jeremy Corbyn because Litvinenko is dead.
Yeah, so. That is good.
Absolutely.
I like your idea that Corbyn was the man that actually poisoned
him. All along, yeah. Cool. Jeremy Corbyn wins that one.
Choose a name, Mark.
Emily Thornberry.
Oh,
Wild Thornberry.
The Wild Thornberries.
That's about as good as I've got with that. Yeah.
Choose a name.
Crichton.
Fight.
I just like that Crichton does have the use of his dick hoover as well. / blender / whatever he's using, whisk,
whatever he needs to use.
His appliance attachment, yeah.
Wow.
Like Emily Thornberry's like one of the most combative of the Labour front bench, I'd say, these days.
Yeah.
Like, you put her out on a question time or something like that.
Yeah.
She's always, like, she's somebody that's like, she's someone that you think you'd probably quite get on well with. Mm. But at the same time, like, Ryler, and she starts the finger
goes.
Yeah,
the finger goes, yeah.
And she starts, like, shouting in people's faces.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's quite tough, not necessarily totally on top of her brief, I think, all
no,
the time.
No, she's not.
But,
what is her brief these days? I can't keep track of the shadow cabinet and who does what.
She's kind of foreign.
Yeah,
is she foreign?
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she's up against Big Boris. Poor women.
Yeah. Oh. Well, okay. So Crichton is a service droid who irons things and cleans things. Yeah, he seems to have a pretty good science knowledge. Whenever something sciencey comes on, he's like, oh, that's because the white blood cells are irradiated.
Because he had to, like, absorb, though. But did he not, like... Yeah, he basically had to adapt to his new role as being the only intelligent life form on the ship.
Yes, the only competent person in the crew.
So he just got all the books and memorised them all, and knows all the, like, different codes and things like that.
I think that's good adaptability. Good, you know. Well, it's something you say about fighters. Good fighters can adapt in between rounds. Great fighters adapt in rounds.
And I think
Crichton's got that ability.
So you know where you're saying, like, Thornberry's not up on her brief.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think, like in the TV show, whenever Rimmer comes out with then Crichton will, like, say, what?
Correct her.
She's quoting, like, UN treaties. Yeah. And then Crichton's correcting her about the Articles of Human Rights.
You mean the article where you don't put your penis in a blender?
Also, Crichton doesn't get riled. Like, so she does get, like, if she gets a bit too much questioning and put in an uncomfortable position, the fingers start to come out, whereas Crichton is always cool and calm and collected. And
she's an angry scrapper. He's a calm technician.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. I think technique wins it for me.
Although, technically, Crichton can't hurt humans, I don't think. Well, so.
Can he not? Yeah. Oh, well, I bet she would, like, if you riled her enough, she
but
would,
then
like,
again,
totally
he has subverted his
programming
before.
Smee!
And he's got a really pointy head, so if he stuck the head on her, she'd be absolutely...
Yeah, restore. Although, it always looks quite rubbery, though. Yeah. Always pointy. It might bounce a bit if he stuck the head in.
Although, I think it's all metal underneath.
Is it?
So, yeah.
Oh.
I'm going to call this one. And I'm going to go for Crichton.
Me too. Emily Thornberry seems like a nice lady, but I'm calling it for Crichton.
I'm going to go with you guys then and say Crichton.
I welcome our new robot overlord.
Right.
Quick fire. So, fire round through the rest of them, because there's about
just empty
them
out.
Or something. Okay. So, no. Well, right. Choose.
Okay. I have got... One of the more obscure members of the Shadow Cabinet, Kate Osamore. I don't know who she is.
Shadow International Development.
Shadow. Mark's favourite Shadow position, Shadow International Development, Kate Osamore versus...
What's my favourite Shadow position? It's not in the bedroom. Looks like you do that bunny ear thing, right? Right. Against Emma Peel of the Avengers.
Yes.
I don't know who either of these people are.
Emma Peel's the one in the cat suit from the Avengers.
Yeah.
I've never seen the Avengers.
Like the original Avengers.
I've never seen the original Avengers. We didn't have a television when I was younger. And I remember getting a video player and it being really exciting for the first time. I don't understand some television references.
To summarise it, it's highly trained British super spy against formerly rising star of the Labour Party who hasn't done a particularly grand job of international development.
No. You're Avengers woman then.
Avengers.
Avengers.
Yeah. Next one.
No, choose another cup.
James Bond
versus classic. Bender.
Oh, from Futurama.
But Bender's an alcoholic.
I feel like someone else would set up James Bond to die. No, I expect you to die. And it would just be Bender stat because he's always an elaborate machine. Yeah. And Bender's just gonna bend James Bond in half. But he won't be able to get out of this time. I'm choosing Bender.
Yeah, I'm going Bender as well.
I'm going Bond.
You're going Bond?
Yeah,
fair enough. Max?
I'd go Bender, yeah. I don't like James Bond. He's creepy. He's a creepy chauvinist.
Princess Leia?
Oh.
Please let us be Princess Diana. Not after last time. We don't like Superman anymore. The Archers! I got the Archers!
No, Archer!
No! I got Tom Archer from the Channel 4 radio series, The Archers, and I think he would let his pigs out on whoever you've got.
I'm going with Maggie's interpretation.
Yeah.
So who is it you're again?
Princess Leia.
Yeah, no. Tom Archer would lure her in with his, because he's like the young hip stud of the Archers, but he's really into like organic pigs and he's got his own line of organic baby food, so he would lure Princess Leia in with his organic baby food line and then set the pigs on it and she would die.
Okay, I'm a Max.
Yeah.
Archer guy.
Well, if it was actually Archer that it
Leia. No, it's Tom Archer.
Leia. Yeah. And then and then he would fight his ocelot.
Yeah.
Archer. Yeah, Archer. Right.
Also because Archer's my hero.
Didn't
or know. Is Krieger my hero? I don't know. One of the two.
Right, so I've got Owen Smith. Oh, shit. He's not a member of a Shadow Cabinet.
He is.
Is he?
He's the...
Rewarded for his utter treachery.
He's the Minister for Northern Ireland or whatever it is.
No.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
The job that no one wants.
Austin Powers.
Oh,
do you know what? Austin Powers is... It's almost like a good and evil twin. Austin Powers and Owen Smith are about the same height. They look quite similar. One has lots of charisma. The other has zero. He actually has minus charisma. So I'm going to Austin Powers.
Both have a slight problem with misogyny.
That is very true. That is very true.
But at least Austin Powers is his comic and out of time.
Yeah.
Because he's a man out of his time. Yeah. So let's go for Austin Powers.
Yeah, Austin Powers.
Austin Powers.
Okay, I've got Now, technically, again, not a member of the Shadow Cabinet, Sadiq Khan,
yeah,
but mayor of London, prominent Labour elected representative Sadiq Khan versus
Jason Bourne.
That's quite a fight, is that?
Well,
what do you think?
I'm just glad it wasn't. Oh, what's his name from Jack Bauer? Because Jack Bauer is just so anti-Muslim. It's
Jack Bauer kills Muslims.
Yeah, that's basically what he does.
Yeah.
I feel like indiscriminately.
I feel like if Sadiq Khan could call on the entire Transport for London fleet to like sellotape some guns to the top of all the buses, get all the tube Uber drivers.
Well, he could stop all that. He could shut down all the transport. And it's like, how are you going to get away? I'll get an Uber. Oh no, you don't.
Yeah, Sadiq Khan would win that one, I think.
Yeah, fuck it, Sadiq Khan, why not?
Jason Bourne.
What? Okay, that's fine.
I would kill him with it.
I go Jason Bourne.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have M of Eminem's fame. No, James Bond fame.
I've got Katniss.
Katniss Everdeen from The Hunger Games.
Yeah.
I'll go with M. Wait, is it male M or female M?
Female M.
Then M Judy from... Because if it was male M... If it was male M, I would totally go with Katniss Everdeen. Yeah. But
it's just because we're trying to make it really politically correct.
No,
it's political correct.
The male,
no.
Can you not even see men and women?
Semen joke in there somewhere. So the male M always came across as weak, right?
Yeah.
Whereas Judi Dench came across as a hard ass who used to be a spy herself, and I think she's got a lot of dead bodies in places that you don't know about. Yeah. So
red on her ledger.
Yeah, I go M.
Yep.
In that case,
same.
Although Katniss is really fit.
No, that's true.
Okay, what have you got, Mark?
Foxy Cleopatra
From Austin Powers 3, played by Beyonce.
Oh, I was thinking of Cleopatra, the 90s girl band. Foxy versus Spock. That would be an interesting battle.
Spock.
See, what I really wanted was Sadiq Khan versus Spock.
Oh, Khan! Sorry, I should have shouted.
What was Fox? Was it Beyonce?
Beyonce.
Right, okay.
So Beyonce's a really poor role model, marketing herself as a positive role model for women.
And I seem to remember.
I'm not going to get into
her character was entirely based on seducing men with her sex power, and Spock's like the most impossible person to seduce with your sex power, is he not?
Yeah. He's also got the strength of like 10 men as well.
So Spock would definitely win that. That's
question
her
question, because he is a multi-billionaire or music impresario.
Oh, Leonard Nimoy.
Leonard Nimoy Spock.
New Spock. He's good, but...
Zachary Quinto.
He's good, but...
No, you've already used up the Star Trek quota for this one episode. Please move on to the next fight.
Right. I'll go... Take the last...
Are we nearly done?
The last spy.
Oh, what is...
Oh!
We seem to have multiple.
Right.
Pop back in. This is Captain Picard.
Versus Harry Palmer.
Who's Harry Palmer from
Michael Caine?
Michael Caine
as in
Harry
Palmer.
Okay. I'm gonna go for Captain Picard.
I'm gonna go for Picard as well because he's got a fucking spaceship.
But also, you're forgetting the one fundamental thing about Star Trek. Fuck all happens. Harry Palmer would just go and shoot with a shotgun.
That's true.
I was like, do we sit here and stare at the Romulans for an hour and have discourse about what we should do? Harry Palmer just come in and shoot him.
Yeah.
Right in the fucking head.
I'd just like to point out to listeners as well that we have just finished a lovely cup of tea, Earl Grey, hot. which is Picard's favourite drink.
Picard's favourite, right.
Right.
This is going all over our bald heads.
Okay.
Chewbacca.
Rebecca Long Bailey. Who's Rebecca Long Bailey?
She's in the Shadow Cabinet.
She's in the Shadow Cabinet.
She is.
Please, somebody quickly. Musical interlude whilst we Google Rebecca Long Bailey.
Shadow
Biz.
Shadow Business. Shadow Business Secretary, because she does all the businesses. Rebecca Long Bailey versus...
Well, Chewbacca, who's like 7 foot tall.
I would...
Stupidly strong.
Yeah.
Big furry thing.
But also have you ever seen really a wiki rip off someone's arm?
Yeah.
But he also never really actually does anything on screen. He's like the kid at the skate park that says he can do a sick ollie.
That's very true.
So, but then is Rebecca Long Bailey, not kind of the same because she's in the shadow cabinet.
I like her, but not in this brief.
So Chewbacca.
Chewbacca.
If she had a different brief, though, maybe you'd take
her. Yeah.
I've got Tom Watson.
And I've got Sam Beckett.
Oh, from Quantum Leap.
Quantum Leap? Oh my god, now you're talking about bloody
yeah, there's going to be very few bodies Sam Beckett's in, though, that has a weight advantage over Tom Watson. I think Tom Watson
Brando.
But the
important thing is that you remember that Tom Watson would miss the fight because he was at Glastonbury getting steaming.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, that Tom Watson would get wasted, tweet, one of his interns would tweet something about it that was off colour, and then he'd take down Sam Beckett while he's in a body, be pounding his face in, almost killing him, and then Sam Beckett quantum leaps out of that body into another one, and the other guy's like, what am I doing here? And he finishes him and kills him.
So Tom Watson.
Sam Beckett, because constantly Ziggy would be giving him a survival chance.
Yeah,
what he'd have to do to adapt.
Yeah, true.
Han Solo.
Versus John McDonnell.
John McDonnell is old man hard.
Yeah, I think so. I would pick a fight with John McDonnell.
Yeah.
I would go John McDonnell.
Who would shoot first?
Oh, classic reference. that's a tough one, actually.
Is that the last of the fight?
John McDonnell.
One more very last.
I think Han Solo talks about
John McDonnell. John McDonnell every time.
Do they have guns?
Yeah, if they have guns,
Han Solo. If not, John McDonnell.
Okay.
Yeah. And this has come down to a battle of the Shadow Cabinet.
No.
A never big weight advantage for Diane Abbott. Oh,
no. Versus our very own Leslie Laird.
Oh. I can imagine this fight actually taking place at the Labour conference right now as we speak.
On the Fife.
I think that Diane Abbott seems very mild mannered, but I think if you pushed her to the brink,
mm-hmm.
she'd fuck you up.
I watched the Russell Howard Hour this week, and she was on it talking about like the abuse that she gets. There's bubbling rage.
There was a study recently about MPs who were abused on Twitter,
yeah.
and they were online, and they said, "Oh, if you take Diane Abbott out, then SNP are the most abused." But if you looked at the rest, it was like a third of it went to Diane Abbott.
They had to take Diane Abbott out of the study because it completely skewed everything. Yeah,
and
she got
horrific.
So much.
It's horrific.
Really
sorry for calling you fat, Diane. I'm fat as well, so. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Leslie Laird.
Can I ask, if Leslie Laird loses this fight, will she finally step down from her council seat? Because it's not happened
it's
yet.
It's never going to happen.
Three jobs, Leslie Laird.
Come on, God.
Hey, she can do it. I'd go with Diane Abbott.
Yeah.
I know, I don't like to not bike a fat. Bike a fat. Back of favour.
I thought you were trying to say bike a fatty.
No. But until Leslie Laird actually stands down from her council seat.
Where's Leslie Laird from?
She is. She's not from Fife at all, originally. No, she's been in Fife for a long time, but she's not originally from Fife. I remember looking
at that. Where does she live or hail from? Which area?
I think she's like Glasgow-y originally. I think she's like Lanarkshire. Mm. But she has been in Fife for a really long time, and she's like, all her political career has been in Fife.
So
but
I'll take her.
I'll still back
down. I'm just thinking, if she was from Glenrothes, do we have an excuse to like totally not like?
Okay, no.
I'm just trying to find a bit.
Well, while Penman's doing that, I'll read the socials.
Yeah, read the socials.
So,
Jamie.
Please contact us on at facebook.facebook. That's the end of the internet. Everything will be facebook.facebook.com.
That's just a dick pic of Mark Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg 2022, whatever year it'll be on. facebook.com/fiveclubpod or at fiveclubpod, Twitter at fiveclub, email ken at fiveclub.co.uk, Instagram fiveclub, or www.fiveclub.co.uk.
And motherfuckers, there's stuff on the Instagram now.
Holy shit, really?
I've been putting stuff up, yeah.
Ooh, you can, dick pics.
No. Just the usual, like, photoshops. But you can hashtag like a motherfucker on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you can put as many hashtags as you want.
Hashtag feeling blessed.
Yeah. Oh, like, it's limitless. Limitless. Also, we'll be able to increase the amount we say on Twitter because they've doubled the characters.
They're trialing it, but that means it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Oh no, I don't want to hear more
characters.
There's a skill. There's an absolute skill in brevity.
Yeah.
It's going to be a thing.
I would have liked an edit function rather than 240.
Edit function
exactly.
Would be much better.
Because all I end up doing is like if I make a mistake,
you would never have had it.
I copy
also.
What's that?
You would never have had Ed Balls.
Oh,
I actually wonder if it's a way to monetize it. and it'll be easier to do adverts if you've got more characters.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
Probably
yeah.
getting pushed from.
But anyway.
That's a really exciting and not at all geeky way to finish the show, isn't it?
Do we have anything else to say?
No.
No?
Cool. No.
That's fine. Well,
I need to get back next door and check out Go Rescue My Racist Dog, who also we found just before the show doesn't like ginger men with beards.
No.
So, yeah.
I've never had a vanilla in my life. It's quite. I actually feel sad about it.
Yeah, sorry, horrible. My racist animals dog doesn't like you.
Yeah, it's weird. We're usually like, oh, you look silly. Yeah. Oh.
So,
well, don't worry. One of Maggie's old dogs, or Lizzie's old dog, tried to shag me. So.
Frankie! Yeah, Frankie.
Tried to shag my leg.
Oh. Frankie never tried to shag me.
See, whereas Frankie was my pal. Frankie went out for a long walk with me when Lizzie was shagging one of her exes.
Oh.
When I was there. That was great.
Oh.
That's all I'm going out now. I might be sometime.
Yeah, no, it was like, Frankie, I can't deal with this. Let's go into the woods.
And next week on Fight Club, another great story about my sister.
Yeah, Lizzie, we love you.
The woods are such a romantic setting to shag Maggie's dog as well.
I know. I feel like you might have molested
her. Anyway, It does bring me to that time of the night where I have to ask, Margaret, what is our motto this week?
It's Fife Club, but not as we know it.
Hey!
I thought of that about
15
minutes ago and I've been sitting on it ever since. So, hey!
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Star Trek's pish.
Right, let's get going then.
Yeah, let's get going. Let's get ready.
There's an extra.
Yeah,
there's done. All my content is. I'm always thinking about the extras.
There was a fair few last week, but that's just because there was.
I got a fright. What I did. I was listening to it on YouTube, and I thought it had stopped because I turned off autoplay. And it had gone all quiet and stuff, and I'd been putting about it, and then Craig came in and I was standing in the hallway having a chat, and then I heard your voice through the other room. What's going on here? And I had to explain to him that you weren't actually here, it was the extras.
Just hiding in the cupboard.
Oh, that'd be good.
That was off the top of my head.
That was good.
There is always a fight going on either inside Istanbul or just outside Istanbul, and it often involves drunk women saying racist things to the men serving.
Yeah. Also, if it's not actually happening as a fight, it's definitely brewing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah, that is yeah.
There's a tension in Istanbul.
Yeah. Or is it Constantinople?
Nobody knows but the Turks.
Yeah.
On the cards.
Divisive.
So let's start this.
Yeah.